Our next guest is going to switch the tempo to something I'm very, I really want to learn, but I always have problems with. And that is going to be Zaid Ajaj. I'm sure I've just butchered your name too. It's going to be my day for butchering names. So you're going to be talking to us about building React applications in F Sharp. Is that using SafeStack?
It is. Yeah.
Okay. I'm very interested. I keep trying SafeStack. I've done 3 different workshops, but for some reason, F Sharp doesn't go into my head. So I'm hoping that 4 times is going to be the charm. So without further ado.
Then I have a lot of work to do, I guess, today. Let's see how far I can go.
And you're coming from the Netherlands as well, aren't you?
I am living in the Netherlands, yes.
Yeah, perfect. So it's coming up to your lunchtime, I guess. So we'll get you going and I'll hand over to you. So you are going to be building React applications in F Sharp. So let's go over to your desktop. Right. And it's me, it's Inception.
All right. Does it look better now?
Absolutely. Take it away. Okay.
So hello, everyone. Today, I'm really happy to show you how to start building React applications in F Sharp. It's a little bit different, but I hope to get you excited a little bit and see what the F Sharp community has been cooking. And the idea of this talk is basically to say, well, I didn't know you could do that with F Sharp. That's kind of neat. Let's see how that goes. So a little bit about me. I'm a software developer living in the Netherlands. I currently work at a company called Senso, where we monitor the energy consumption of thousands of buildings. We do time series analysis, we do visualizations. So there's a lot of front-end work we do. I'm interested in all the things in .NET, C#, F#, and JavaScript, and I love to work with data-intensive applications. I've been also the open source contributor and maintainer of many of the F# tools, some of which I'm going to show you in a bit, because I really love F#, and most of the work I've done in the recent years been on the F# language, tooling, making things easier, and I've really fell in love with how it makes things rather simple, but it doesn't compromise on type safety. So there, it has this sweet spot between simplicity and abstraction, And for me, it just fits really well. And now there are a lot of things I could talk about in F#. I could have the whole day, but I will just skip through it and show you just bits and pieces as I go through the demo. And once I started working on F# and on front end, I kind of wanted that experience as well to come over to the front end world. And this is where Fable comes into place. Now I'm skipping through a lot of those things, but so that I could have a lot some time for the demo and go through the code. So Fable is a F# to JavaScript compiler, and if there are 2 things you need to know about Fable, is that first, it brings the F# experience to JavaScript. It's not necessarily a JavaScript for the browser. You could run the JavaScript anywhere because it compiles to modern JavaScript as in Babel format, so that can run anywhere, whether it is Node.js or the browser. And the second most important thing is for Fable is that it generates code that easily integrates with JavaScript. This is, I think, the most important for me personally, because it allows us to reuse the giant ecosystem of NPM and Node.js into our F# applications. Of course, we do that by building what we call binding packages. They are wrappers on top of native JavaScript libraries, which allow us to interact with the third-party JavaScript code from type-safe F# code. So there's a little bit of work into building those, but the end result is really nice because we don't have to rebuild the packages. We just use them as they are. And in today's talk, I'm definitely going to talk about React and the binding for it called Feliz. Feliz means happy in Spanish, and that's the idea and philosophy behind the library. Now, besides React, the React ecosystem is huge and it's filled up with many, many packages and components that you would really want to use in your application. So today I'm also happy to be showcasing a couple of those, where we also have bindings for those library, whether it's charting, whether it's for working with date functions, whether it's for testing, even though I'm not going in that far. But I just want you to know that when it comes to Fable, it's all about interoperability, all about doing it the JavaScript way, but instead with F-sharp, the language. So it's not an abstraction on the JavaScript runtime. No, it kind of makes it another tool in the tool set of JavaScript developers or TypeScript developers. It has the same experience with when you're working with TypeScript, as I will show you in a bit. All right, so the library in subject for today is Felice. It will be the binding for React. I'll show you how it makes the public API from React available in F#, and it kind of translates the modern concepts from there into F# code, such as function components, and we have specialized stuff for that, hooks and custom hooks, and of course, lower level DOM references. The output of Felice is, and especially with the latest Fable release, the Fable 3 release, where Fable allows for custom compiler plugins, allows for even more fine-grained JavaScript output so that it works really well with JavaScript bundlers. One of the requirements, one of the newest tools in the React community is called Fast Refresh, which allows you to edit your code and have the page refresh without resetting the state. It's not a page refresh, it's the component refresh while they're maintaining their state. So if you are at a certain level in your application where you have some kind of state and you change the colors, the state stays as is. So that's really important in Fast Refresh, but it's all a little bit experimental. So there might be some rough edges, and unfortunately not in this demo, but it works. I'm pretty sure it works for when you're working with Parcel and Snowpack as other bundlers. Today I'm using Webpack to bundle the application, and I just had some technical difficulties, so I'm not going to be able to show the Fast Refresh right, but it works. All right, I can now switch on to the demo. And for today, I didn't want to just show React, because React doesn't, you can build a front-end application with it, but that's not all. I wanted to connect, I want to leverage the entire thing and connect the F# front-end with React to an F# back-end with ASP.NET Core and have them communicate data back and forth and see how that goes. All right, so far so good. It means I can move on to the code. I hope you can all see that. All right. So at the very essence, let me go through a little bit of the template I'm working here. So what I have here is a project where it has a server folder. This is where my backend lives, and it exposes a couple of functions that the frontend can call to get the data. It's built on ASP.NET Core and trans.NET. As you can see in this tab, I have it running. On the other tab, I have Webpack Dev Server running, which is what is hosting my front-end application for now, and they're communicating back and forth. So in the server, I have my F# backend. In the client, you guessed it, I have my front-end in React. And Fable in this project just takes this project and compiles each module into their JavaScript equivalent. In this project, Fable is actually installed as a .NET tool. So that's how you install it on your project. You just go .NET tool install, and then you need the entire version, because we're still in release candidate for the third version. The release candidate just came out last week, so I'm treading some bumpy roads, I think. But let's see how it goes. All right. So that's the .NET. I also have another tool called Femto. I want to show you later if I have some time for it. It has to do with the package management of the NPM packages and the .NET packages. All right, so that means we can forget about the server for now and just jump right through the client. The client has an entry point where it's exactly what you expected from React. You have a React DOM render function. It wants to know which components it needs to render, onto which DOM elements it needs to render that. along with that, there's also something curious that is import side effects. And I'm importing a SAS file in onto my F-sharp code. That might look tricky, but it actually works because the compiled module looks like that, and it imports the file. And when I'm bundling the code with Webpack, it knows that I'm importing that file and triggers the SAS loader to be able to compile that to CSS later on. So that works all nicely. It works really integrated with all the with all what you expect React applications to work. Now, another curious thing is that in my entry point, I am calling a function. I'm calling the counter, well, function component to be exact. And as you can see, it's just a function with no input. However, the compiled code looked like this. There was a small transformation of how the code looked like, where the function call was transformed into a React create element code. And that is exactly what a JSX transform does, except we do it from F#. This is made possible by the newest features from Fable 3, where we are able to make to build a compiler plugin that does this, that understands when to transform calls and how to transform them. So this is the main component, and I'm just showing a counter. I know that's not why you're all here. You don't want to see counter, but just let me show it real quick. So I'm running on a localhost 8080, and that's where my counter is working, and it works like it should. Blah blah blah. It's really simple. Let me go through it. And this is how it looks like. Now this is a very simple component, but it shows you the essence of a React component in F#. A React component, whether it's JavaScript or F#, is just a function. Except that function is stateful. And it uses state and it maintains state. In React, we have the modern React has hooks and state variables. This is the simplest version of a state variable where I'm keeping track of a count, even though it looks like I'm reinitializing it on each call, but that won't happen because it's not a normal function, it's a React component. So it keeps track of the count and I show it inside of a H1, and I have a button here that is called increment. And on each click, I update the count with the previous count plus one. So on each re-render, the state changes and the React component re-renders. Now, this is very close to what you would expect from the equivalent React code. Because if you look at the documentation, if you want to do this yourself, on your own with JavaScript, this is how it looks like. You have a function. You have a function that has no input. You have useState, which returns you a tuple, a count, and a set count, and then you render a div like I have here, an H1 with the content being just a count. Then you have a button with the onClick. Of course, the DSL here, because this is using JSX, and here we're not using JSX. This is just F# code that is calling functions. Like the div is a function, H1 is a function, and these are all modules. The HTML is a module, prop is a module. It looks a bit more verbose than its JSX equivalent, but it's made such that you use it with IntelliSense. So the important thing is that you won't be writing out this code while you're working on it, but you will just be like looking through what properties you can use, what's there available. And we've tried to map each and every HTML property and all its overloads right here. But in this case, I only have text and onClick. So that's basically it. That's a React component, and you could build upon that real easily. There's something curious here, which is this attribute called React component. Now, this is the new stuff from Fable 3, where this is a compiler plugin that allows that once I've annotated this function using this attribute, then it transforms it differently based on so that it outputs what React tools are expecting. Like, for example, it outputs counter in capitalized. It transforms the input into props. Let me show you that in a second. So it does all the things that are required, and this is really, really cool and allows for really interesting aspect-oriented programming kind of facilities. So this is the simplest part. Let's look at something with an input, like a counter with an initial state. It's almost the same. I just wanted to show you how the transform looks like, because if I use it, let me see, I go to main, counter with initial state, and I say 10. Now, it will start at 10, of course. It will recompile, start at 10, does like what it should, except that the compiled code now transforms this initial thingy into a prop for the create element, for the create element function, which is really, really interesting. And it basically outputs what React tools are expecting. All right, that's simple enough. Let's do something more complicated. And that is calling data from the backend. Now, you would think that that will be like really hard or really, really complicated. But it's not. It's really simple. I'll show you in a bit. Besides the built-in hooks in React, we also have built our own custom hooks that work really nicely with F# constructs like this one. So we have a. This is one of my favorite things in this library. It's called use deferred, and use deferred will take something asynchronous like this thing. It's an asynchronous counter. And this is a very common pattern in front-end development, where you have an asynchronous something and you can't just deal with it right away. You have to deal with its loading state. You have to deal with whether it's failed state. You have to deal whether it's in progress and all these kind of things. And here I just say, well, give me the data that is coming back from the server API and handle each case and render HTML from each case. So if the component hasn't started the request yet, then I show nothing. If I'm in progress, I will show the loading. If I have some kind of error, which is an exception here, then I'll just show the error message. You probably don't want to do that, but that's just like a way of handling an error onto the front end. And if I have the end result, which is the counter, that is the result of the asynchronous operation, I will just show the value of it. Now, I'm showing you this because in this simple example, because this is also the same hook I want to use throughout the rest of the application. So let me just show you that this is actually works. So it starts loading, and after a second, it returns me 10. 10 is then a value returned from the backend. It's just something static, just for demo purposes, nothing too complicated. There it is. And you could also see that this is a ASP.NET Core project where I have all the ASP.NET Core dependencies injected into this thing, and I can call this function. When I said the backend exposes functions, I was meaning in the literal sense, like these functions are the same functions I can call, and there's a library that is handling the communication, there's an RPC library handling the communication in between, where I don't have to care about the HTTP and JSON handling. It's all built in, kinda, which is really nice. This is like really leveraging the fact that we're using F# on both on backend and frontend, where we could have shared models. Where we could have shared models and shared API communications like this. So I have this server API and I'm calling this function, and next I'll be calling other functions to show you. But this is the gist of it. All right, so far so good. So this is a counter. It's really nice. I also want to show you a cool feature of F#. If I forgot to handle a case, the compiler will tell me. The compiler tell me, hey, you missed something. There's this case called failed where that indicated a case that you didn't handle here. And that's totally correct. I need to handle this. So when it comes to asynchronous data coming from a backend or other external APIs, having this pattern is really, really, really nice. All right, and now on to something a little bit different, a little bit of a routing. Now, Feliz includes its own very, very extremely simple routing solution using path segments. So what I do here, I say in this component, this routing component, I say, okay, the initial state of this component will be the current URL, which is like the current path segments of the URL that the page lands on. And then I have a router component whenever that listens to a URL changes and updates the local state of the URL inside this component. And then what comes out of it is a simple expression, like the HTML that needs to be rendered is a simple expression that renders HTML based on the path segments. So when I don't have path segments, I show the index. When I have a single path segments called home, I show something called homepage. Anything else, I show not found because I don't know what URL that is. So I'll just show you that real quick and see how easy that is. Let me see, main routing. All right, that's the index because there are no URL stuff. But if I go home, it goes to the home page. If I go to anything else, it shows not found. It's really simple. Let me extend that a little bit and say, okay, what if I'm having a counter, then I want to see the counter component. I'll just call it and it will be rendered like that. So let me see, I'll be counter, and there you go. I have some kind of nice routing, which will render other components really simply. Now I'm relying on F-sharp's pattern matching to decompose the list. So when I'm saying this, I mean, okay, match the current URL with a single URL segment where that URL segment is counter. But what if I have URL parameters? I'll just say, okay, match where the URL has two segments. The first one is called counter, and the second is called, well, I don't know, it will be some integer. When it's some integer count, then I want to say counter with initial state of that count. So here I'm using something called active patterns from F#, and they're really, really powerful because here I'm saying, when the second segment is an integer, and bind that integer to this value so that there's no magic about how you specify your URL. That's basically how you specify it and say, okay, this matches when there is a counter, when there is a route of an integer, and that integer is count, and I could use it right away. So that's really simple. It means if I go counter 42, it works. But if I go counter anything else, it's not found. It doesn't match. It doesn't match that that URL where the second segment is an integer. So that's really cool. This is just F#. This is not specific to Fable or React. So that's really using F# feature to make routing really simple. Okay, and now onto the main application, the one that is slightly bigger than those simple stuff. It's called, well, application, not so original, but that's okay. I'll just go application, and hopefully we will see something more interesting. Well, we don't want to go here. Okay, so now I have a, well, slightly more interesting application where with a home and a nice navigation bar. I also have the counter, chose the counter. This component, this sidebar component, is built entirely using the styling API of Feliz. So you have things like display flex and what the flex direction should be, how to align elements. All these things are available through IntelliSense. So I say, okay, what kind of styling do I want to do? Okay, I want to the display, and what values I can see from the display? Well, it's all those values. So that's really cool. Feliz is made to work with IntelliSense. It's really important. So here I have my navigation links. Let me add another navigation link where I can show you something more interesting. Let's say map or sites. It will go to maps. It's active when the current URL is maps. The icon will be FA map marker alternative. Yeah, sounds good. All right. So if this re-renders, I get my map navigation bar, which already maps an application, no pun intended, to another component in here, which shows something more interesting. All right, there you go. So this is showing a couple of buildings in Nijmegen, the Radboud University, the station, and the pancake boat, because we definitely need the pancake boat. So what this component does initially, it loads the site from the backend and it recenters the map when the sites are loaded. And when I click on each site, it loads the data consumption from that site. So if I go like that, it takes a little bit of while and it comes out with data. It's all interactive. So this component is actually called Pigeon Maps. It's a React library, a very lightweight React library, even more lightweight than Leaflet. And we have a binding for it so that we could use it from Fable. And then we have, for example, this part, this bar chart is coming from Rechart, and we could use it here right away. It's really interesting because I'm doing also some kind of data analysis. Well, it's very simple. It's not that complicated. Here I have the data analysis where I'm saying, okay, these are my props. I want to load the site data for this site. Give me everything you have and use the time zone of the site, because you cannot do time analysis without knowing what time zone you are. Then I'm using the same hook we used before, loads, to call this asynchronous thingy and to get a list of site data, which I want to render. So once the site data are resolved and I get my data, I do some little bit of analysis where I sort by the timestamp, group by the year, and then for each year I'll aggregate the total values from it, and from there I create a simple nice bar chart. So this is while the site is when this is this happened when the data is resolved, but otherwise I'm just showing a plain old spinner, a Font Awesome spinner, where it shows the loading thingy you saw at first. So I'm not handling errors here, but that's like not important for demo purposes. But this is going out to the database to get these data. So it did from the backend. It did go out to my local database, queried the sites, got the things from them, returned them right away. Same thing for the site data, queried the database, went out to the site data and returned a timestamp and value, which is like the simplest thing of what a time series looks like. And all of that comes down to this thing and it gets rendered onto here. So this application keeps the current URL, keeps track of the current URL, keeps track of the navbar, and it has the same routing thingy where no segments map to home, counter to counter, and maps to my maps component coming from here. And this component is built on top of multiple components. And here you have the pigeon maps where I say, okay, once I have the sites and they're resolved, for each of those sites, please render a marker. And render a marker is a function itself, which calls pigeon maps marker, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, that's pretty much it. I hope you can,
Great. Thank you, Zaid. That was really awesome. We're out of time for questions, but would you be able to share, is that your GitHub there? Awesome. Is this code on the GitHub right now?
Yes, it is. It's the latest repo I've added. So yeah, thanks a lot for having me. Sorry for didn't have a lot of time for the
Don't worry. You can check out on Twitter the questions that there were for you. I think there was just one which was Felice Router support optional root parameters like React Router. I think that was one that was on Twitch. So
you could have like you could build your own active route for that. For now it doesn't, which means you have to have two routes for them. But you could easily like say if it has a parameter or it doesn't, then do something or don't. It's basically it returns you back a list of segments and you can do whatever you want with the list. And list is something that is really easy to work with in F# because of the powerful pattern matching and active patterns.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure. And every time I see F# and the Safe Stack, I think, this is so cool. And then I don't know how to get going. So I may have to ping you on Twitter and ask you, where's a good place?
Yes, please do get in touch. There's also the Slack of F# where a lot of help of people, a lot of awesome people, they're ready to help and to help you get started.
That's great. Well, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day and take care. Cheerio. Bye.